You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Has two functions. It's the rec room. Any money's put in that goes to the rec room assistance fund. It doesn't go to help anybody but people. It doesn't go to buy cookies and donuts and cokes and coffee. It goes to help rec room people that have a need, and there's four or five of you at least tonight that have come up with some need, whatever it might be, and we want to help you. Now, I had one fella, he didn't stay very long. He come in, and he had a bunch of needs, and I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll discuss them next time you come in with no whiskey on your breath. And he said, that's shaving lotion. I said, you're looking at a guy that's drinking enough whiskey to know the difference. It ain't shaving lotion. But anyhow, and see, if you want to help yourself, we want to help you. If you don't care any more about that for yourself, then you probably, we're not much in helping. We don't furnish bicycles for street people. If you're not looking for a job or going to a job, we're not all that enthused. But if you're trying to help yourself, we're going to be your best friends. We really are. We got two goals at the rec room: help you get to heaven and keep you out of white. Just that simple. That's where it goes. So anyhow, Brother Charles is going to come sing for us, and we're going to talk to you a little bit. And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Leland. If y'all don't know Mr. Leland from when you were in other places, I want to tell you he is for real. He loves you like God loves you. And I'm so thankful for the day he asked me to help with the music at the rec room, because it's been a highlight of my life all the years we've been doing it. And Mr. Leland loves you. He means it when he says he wants you to go to heaven. And believe me, if you don't, you will wish you had. So this is a kind of a song about an old man. When I first started singing it, I was a young guy. I didn't have real dark hair. I didn't have real white hair. I had real dark hair when I first started singing it. But the song goes pretty good. Talks about a little old man kind of like me right now. I'm thinking about home. Penny for your thoughts, I said to the old man, as he sat there on the park bench all alone. Silver hair and wrinkled brow, eyes gleaming, smiled and said, just thinking about my home. I sat down and we shared some laughs together. The cinema of remembrance, oh, it rolled. Talked about life's gains and yes, its losses. Most of all, he talked about his home. He said, I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home, dreaming about leaving here. I'm ready to be moving on. Oh, it won't be long before that sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home.
said to the old man, where's your home and what's it like? He said, oh, there's nothing around here can compare. You see, a king had it built and gave the deed to me. Most of my family's already there. He said, I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home. I'm dreaming about leaving here. I'm ready to be moving on. Oh, it won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home. Oh, it won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home. I'm thinking about home. Thank y'all. Thank you.
Brother Charles, can I get you to turn off that fan, please? This old man gets cold. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 tonight. We're going to talk about the three temptations of Jesus. And if you don't have a Bible and would like to turn to that scripture, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. And let me say this about the Bibles. If you don't have a Bible here with you, then you just keep that one as the Rec Room's gift to you. We want you to have it. Then don't leave home with that. Anybody else need a Bible? Okay. Now, at the end of the service, if you're going to keep the Bible, then please keep it. If not, don't just leave it in your chair. If you put it on that table at the back of the room, then our people can gather them up all in one place and put them up. We appreciate that. Jesus, for 30 years, nobody knew he existed, I guess, except mom and daddy, and brothers and sisters. At the age of 30, he came to John the Baptist, his cousin, to be baptized to start his public ministry. It's kind of amazing. Here's a guy that only ministered for 3.5 years, and we're still talking about him. 2,000 years ago, we're still talking about him. We're not talking about anybody else 2,000 years ago, but we're talking about Jesus Christ. And then immediately when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him up into a mountain, and he was tempted by Satan. Now, he ran into the most vicious, wicked, lying, evil character that ever existed in Satan. And for 40 days, he didn't eat anything. And every day, not just one day out of the 40, but every day, Satan came to him and tempted him, offered him things. And Satan hadn't quit doing that. He's always did that. He started that in the Garden of Eden. This is not new for him. He started in the Garden of Eden. He's still doing it. He's offering us stuff that he can't produce. I remember a guy told me one time, he said, Leland, your mouth gives checks that your body can't cash. And he was right. But Satan is the same way. He promises a bunch of things. But the first thing he did, and so let's read the verses. We're going to read verse 1 through 10 and then come back and talk about it a little bit. So then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And that sounds kind of logical. What else, if you hadn't eaten, what else do you want? I mean, there's time if you had $1,000 and but you didn't have anything to eat and couldn't buy anything to eat, it wouldn't mean anything to you. So he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He quotes the Old Testament. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, and by the way, let me just comment here, Satan will use the Bible, and so will his ministers. Now, he always misuses it, and he can't ever get the verse quite right. He either leaves something out or adds something. He can't get it right. But Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And basically, that's what Satan wants. He just wants worship. Let me say this. Satan is not real thrilled with the drunk lying in the gutter. He's more thrilled with the banker that's just religious. Satan is a very religious being. That's why he said, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Notice, Jesus used something against Satan that every one of us can use. He used the Bible. When Satan came to him, he said, it is written. He didn't use supernatural powers. He didn't use the fact that he was God in the flesh. He faced him like you and I would face him, and used as a defense what you and I can use, what we have available, the Bible. First thing he said to him, and let's go back and talk about these. The first thing he said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Well, you got to eat, right? I got a letter last week from a guy, and he said he's going to be paroling out here soon, and he was looking for some help, and he said, I need the money to start my own business, or if I can't start my own business, then I'll have to go back selling drugs. You mean you only got two choices, that's it? Let me tell you, all that is a cop-out. Yeah. Sell drugs because I can't get a job. Well, you won't need a job. They'll put you out here where they will feed and clothe you every day. You just keep selling them drugs. And I also know this. Those you sold weren't yours anyway. You just picked up this guy and you were riding with him. And yeah. Oh, that, no, not mine. They weren't mine. No, sir, Your Honor. Yeah. We make some excuse. Well, man's got to eat. I did this. I did that. Well, I wouldn't go. Well, I was working. I didn't show up when I was supposed to. And you keep breaking the rules, and guess what? You know what happens. I'm listening with a guy out to jail now. He said, oh, I knew there was a warrant out. I just thought maybe they'd forget it. How many of you ever heard of them forgetting it? It's amazing. And let me tell you something else I've learned. that there's three different places those warrants can be: city, county, and state. And just because one of them stopped you and it didn't show up, don't think you free. And we know when we're in trouble. We know. We just don't want to admit it. But he said, if thou be turned, and Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. And he was using exactly that thou shalt, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I tell you what, you get in that book and God will show you which direction to go. And I will guarantee you that you won't have to sell drugs to live. In fact, in Odessa, Texas, and I didn't see it this past Christmas, but every Christmas I've seen some reporter show some old boy eating out of a dumpster. And if you eat out of a dumpster in Odessa, Texas, it's because that was your cafe of choice. There's a multitude of places you can go and get food free. There's a multitude of places that you can get clothes free. There's a multitude of places. In fact, I know this. I know a place where you can go get a haircut and a shower and get that haircut by a professional barber. You can't do that in Midland. You can't do that in Amarillo, Angelo, Abilene. But you can do it here in whiskey-drinking, redneck, oil-field trash Odessa. I'm telling you, there's so many helps that if you won't help, we'll give you a leg up. We'll help you climb that mountain. Well, next thing you said to him, he said, if, and notice that he said, if thou be the Son of God. He said, if thou really the Son of God, prove it to a, do a miracle. Let me take you, you go up here on top of the temple and then jump off. Draw some attention to yourself. Boy, we got a lot of that. Notice how we draw attention to ourselves. Tattoos, body piercing, multicolored hair. We say, well, I'm not going to be like everybody, and then we all turn into like everybody. All wear the same clothes. All of a sudden, nobody could find breeches that fit around her waist.
Amen.
We come out like a cookie sheet, people. Everybody's going the same direction. By the way, here, Satan misquotes scripture. Why you got your Bible? I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me give you a moment to find that. Over to the right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13, he said, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Notice, they're preaching righteousness. They're preaching straighten up. But you know, we got a bunch of folks that want to get you sober. Sir, we don't leave. I wish you wouldn't do that, sir.
We don't leave.
Yeah, I don't have been turned off anyway. But we got folks that help you get sober so you'd be sober all the way to hell. I know some folks try to make you happy so you just enjoy your trip to hell. But they don't tell you how to get to heaven. I'm going to tell you, if we put you in the best automobile you ever had, if the rec room could find you the best job you ever had, introduced you to the most beautiful person you'd ever gone out with, and bought you the best wardrobe of clothes you ever had, and didn't tell you about Jesus, we're the worst enemy you got.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, people, number one, get to heaven. Now, I'd rather be on my way to heaven and broke than on my way to hell rich.
Right.
Well, I don't care if you got the money of Donald Trump. It won't help you when we get to this. And Satan's crew is always lying about stuff. We're going to give you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can have this. You can have that. They could tell them how much better things are going to get. That's what they told Adam and Eve. That's what he's told you and I. You can make it. You won't get caught. They can't catch you. You're smarter than everybody else. You won't get hooked. You can handle it. He's always positive about these things. The Bible said that evil men and seducers are getting worse and worse, not better and better. Look around you. Look at our nation. Look at where we are today. And we got some problems. And let me tell you this. You have any idea how many of God's dedicated Christian people were killed, raped, injured yesterday, last night? How many babies of godly people were slaughtered in this world? Let me tell you. This world doesn't offer us much. Paul, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, died in a prison, probably from disease that God would not heal him from. Three times Paul asked God to heal him, and God said, "You don't need healing. You need my grace. My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, we live in a great country, still the best country on earth. And we've never had to suffer for Jesus' sake. We just haven't had that here. There's been people that this very night are afraid to show that they own a Bible. We're over here giving them away. They can't afford to let anybody know they got one. North Korea is that way. Many of these countries are anti-Christian, imprison you, put you in prison just for being a Christian, not for committing a crime. That's what they did to Jesus. They put him on the cross, capital punishment, the worst kind that there ever existed. And what? Why did they do that? Because he healed their sick. He gave sight to their blind. He gave hearing to their deaf. He raised their dead. He fed the 5,000. That's bad?
Nope.
Oh, listen. And once again, Jesus quoted, "It is written." And by the way, when Satan quoted these verses, notice what he said. He said, "For it is written," Satan talking now, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." But he left out some of it. He didn't put it all in there. That's why Jesus could say it's written again. See, don't just take one scripture out of the Bible and run with it like you. It's the only one there. You can always, if it's the truth, you can cross-reference it. You can find it at another place. It won't just appear one time. And then the last thing, and boy, this is, notice what he did the last. He took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their greatness. He showed them the great, didn't show them the bad side. I went to Seattle, Washington. The first guy that was, one of the first guys that was in that prison class that I ever did, back in 1985, January of 85, at the Big Spring Federal Prison. He was the largest drug bust in the history of Seattle. Still holds that record, if that's a good record. But anyway, he got saved in prison. And went back, and Terry got married in prison. A girl from Seattle, she came down, and they got married while he was in prison over here at Bixby. Beautiful, lovely lady. And she got cancer and died. And left, she was 36 when she died, left Terry with two little girls, 2 and 3 were their ages. And Terry had been telling me about this, and we'd talk back and forth, and he called me, and his heart was broke. And he said, "Leland, would you come and do Julie's funeral?" And I remember I found a friend that I couldn't afford it. This was back before Southwest Airlines went there, but a friend of ours of the ministry, when he found out what was needed, he got us the tickets. But I remember standing. She was buried on. If you're in Seattle, everything is up and down. You're going up and down all the time. And we were standing on the side of this hill where the graveyard was. And as I looked out over that, it was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. The running water. It was in the strawberry season, and there are strawberries everywhere. A lot of apples in Terry's little old modest home. In his little old yard, he grew 9 kinds of fruit in that little old yard. It flourishes. I'd never seen anything like it. I thought, boy, I can imagine what Satan showed Jesus. I remember I had this thought though, this kind of hit me. As I was there admiring it, God kind of tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Leland, I got back alleys look better now." But God, he showed all this, and then he told Jesus, he said, "I'll give you all that if you fall down and worship me." Now let me tell you something about that. That ain't gonna happen.
No way.
Because he don't own it. Just because he said he did.
Uh-huh.
See? Let me just share these with you. I'm going to hit these real quick. We're going to not stop and turn to them. But if you want to write them down, you can. Exodus 9:29 says this. Moses said unto him, "As soon as I'm gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands of the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's." It doesn't belong to Satan. Exodus 9:15, God told Moses, "All the earth is mine." 1 Chronicles 29:11, David said, "For all that is in heaven and earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." God told Job, "Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine." Psalm 2:7-8, God said, "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." David said in Psalms 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." Psalms 89:11, the psalmist said, "The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof." And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:26, "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Satan's lying to you. Just as he told Adam and Eve, "If you eat fruit of the tree, you will be as smart as God." Let me tell you how much knowledge they acquired when they ate the fruit of the tree. They realized they were naked. Now, they were way ahead of a lot of the women in Odessa, but they understood they were naked. That's all they did. They didn't learn any one thing. Satan is a liar. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 8. And mark this in your Bible. Jesus is talking with the Pharisees. In the last part of verse 44, it talks about the devil. Well, the whole, he said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. He'll always lie. That's why he can't quote scripture. He can't get it right. He is just a liar. You've seen people that does a lie when the truth sound better. Satan is one of those people. I'm going to give you all that. Somebody said, well, now, Leland, it wouldn't have been any temptation if he couldn't have given it to Jesus. The temptation wasn't whether you give it to him. Temptation is he telling the truth. Adam and Eve bit. Jesus didn't. We've been told all of these things. We've had in our mind that we could do this and that and we could make a lot of money. Doing it this way and that way. Cutting the corners. Doing it illegally. And it ain't gonna happen. Because in the long run, what is they used to say? Chickens come home to roost. I think I've shared this story with you. But when we were back over in Big Spring, just for a weekend seminar, one of the guys in Big Spring had come, his mother and daddy had come to our meeting in Midland for the family. And we'd got to know them, his wife. And Troy weighed about 240, was an iron pumper, great personality, good looking, big guy. And Troy was visiting with me and trying to kind of justify some things, I guess. He said, Leland, where else could I take $250 and in 3 days turn it into $20,000? And Troy was a cook, not a chef, a cook. And I thought about that all that night. That was Friday night. And then that kept going over in my mind. He said, man, the temptation is just so great, it's hard not to give in to it. Where else could I do that? Next day, we were having lunch, and I made an effort to sit at the same table with Troy. And I said, Troy, let me see if we got this right. You took $250, invested in some things, and turned that in to $20,000 in 3 days period. He said, Leland, I have no reason to lie to you. I did that. I said, how long you been down, Troy? He said, 6 years. I said, assuming we got 50 weeks in a year, not 52, so we can kind of do this easy. I said, 6 years is 300 weeks, isn't it? He said, yeah. I said, 40 hours a week. If we got 40 hours a week, that's 12,000 hours. He said, yeah. I said, let's divide that into 20,000. I said, would you work for that when you get out? You know how much that is? That's $1.60. Not anybody going to work that cheap. I said, Charles, what you didn't figure? You didn't divide it into 6 years. You got to 250, 3 days, 20,000. But it cost, and by the way, the story wasn't over. Troy did a total of 8. That'd make it about $1, a little over, an hour. See, we don't ever sit down and look at the long run. It's just, boy, I can make it right here. And it doesn't happen. Let me tell you something else that's written. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thank God that's written. That's all I claim on Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then look at verse 13. For whosoever that you meet, anybody in here? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You can do that anywhere, anytime, can't you?
Amen.
Yeah. Shall be saved. It is written. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. You're here tonight, and you're not a Christian. Oh, you've thought about it in the past. Maybe people have talked to you. Maybe you give it some thought. But you've never trusted Jesus Christ. And yet, you're pretty miserable in the situation you're in. If you're really honest, in the quietness of your own heart, you know that life's a bummer. And you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Would you say, Leland, pray for me. I want out of this. I want to know something better. Would you just slip up your hand? God bless you, sir. I see your hand. I see yours over here. In one, yes, at the back. You can slip them back down once I recognize you. I'm sick and tired. I want something better. I want the peace and the joy that I hear that God will give me. I've ruined my life to this point. I want to make something of it. Anyone else, real quickly? Yes, sir, I see you're in. Yes, sir, yeah, there in the middle. Yes, God bless you. I'm going to pray. While I pray, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the dead and will forgive me. I trust you as my Savior. In your own heart, I want you to pray that to your Father. Now, Father, you've seen the hands, and Father, the truth be known. There's some that should have lifted them and didn't. Father, I pray that this very night, right now, that these hearts associated with the hands that went up, that these hearts turn to you and call upon you. And you said they would be saved. Would you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed? Brother Charles is going to be singing one verse, and I want you to come on the very first verse. There'll be some.
His name is wonderful, Jesus mighty Lord. His name.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.